we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Just after the book of Ezekiel, you'll find the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 7 and verse number 1. I will save all of my gratitudes and thank yous for the conclusion of the service. I want to get right into the message. Dear brother, we are recording now, right? Daniel chapter number 7 and verse number 1. I have been announcing all week that I would be preaching on the subject tonight. Daniel in chapter number 7 and verse number 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, before I get into the message, you must understand verse number 17 of the same chapter. These great beasts, which are four kings. Now, watch this terminology. Which shall arise out of the earth. Now, for those of you that know and study Bible prophecy, you're aware of the fact that these are some of the most diverse and controversial verses of all Bible prophecy. You'll find it not only in Daniel chapter number 7, but you will also find these beasts found in the book of Revelation. You study the book of Daniel, you'll find there are four beasts. They not only represent four different kings in four different periods of time in history, but they also represent four kingdoms. When you go over to Revelation chapter number 13, you'll find that it's divided into four different periods of time that are all within chapter number 6 through chapter number 18 of the tribulation period. But if you go to Revelation chapter 6, you'll find there are four horsemen there. Those four horsemen illustrate four different types of God's judgment upon the face of the earth during the tribulation period. Now let me doctrinally set a standard here. Doctrinally speaking, those of us that are born again do not have to worry about the Antichrist or the tribulation period. Because according to the scripture, the blood-bought, born-again child of God will be raptured out of here before the tribulation period ever begins. But that does not mean that we will not be here to see the stage set for the opening days and the opening accounts of what Jesus called in Matthew 24, the great tribulation period. In the book of Jeremiah, it's known as the days of Jacob's trouble. And here, what I read to you in Daniel chapter number 7, I don't want to get too deep and I don't want to bore you and lose you. I want to pull it together to what we are witnessing on the news this very night while I am preaching. These four beasts that Daniel saw, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then the awful beast, these were four kingdoms and four kings that are recorded in what we know now as history in the past. The first kingdom that come up, the kingdom of the lion, was none other than Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. There's been four great empires that have ruled this world, and these were the four that Daniel were prophetically telling us of. The lion is the Babylonian kingdom that was headed out by Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. It fell to the bear, which was the Medes and the Persians, which was the second world empire that came and took over. Then it fell to the leopard, which was the Grecian empire that was led by no other than Alexander the Great. And at the tender age of 31 years old, he had already conquered the whole world. And they thought the Grecian empire would last and live forever. But it wasn't long till Alexander the Great died and his empire fell apart. You'll find that the leopard had four heads. The reason being is because the Grecian empire had four divisions within its kingdom. And the bear, you'll find there were three ribs in their mouth, illustrating they were three other kings that had submitted to the lordship of the Medes and Persians. But the last beast, the Bible said, was dreadful and terrible and powerful and destructive, and that is the Roman Empire. Now, if you'll study the great image that Nebuchadnezzar found or had the dream of, you'll find that through the feet of the iron and clay mixed together, there will be a reviving of the fourth empire that Daniel saw in chapter 7. You may think the Roman Empire is dead and gone, but I say to you, she's alive and well. And she will revive again during the tribulation period. She's called the great harlot. Harlot. She is the religious prostitute of the tribulation period that will draw all denominations and all religions together. But the Bible declares to us in chapter 7 and verse 17 that there are four kings that shall arise. Those were future days, and that shall overtake the world and become a one world empire and kingdom. You must remember when you study the Bible, you must remember always, Brother Junior, there are two Babylons in the Bible. There will be a economic Babylon, but there will be a religious Babylon. We know that Rome and the Catholic Church will take over the religious Babylon during the tribulation period. But who is it that will take over the world empire, economically speaking? There will be a revision of the bear. When the bear stands up again, the Bible declares he will have three ribs sticking out of his mouth. Now go to the first mentioned principle. Where do you find rib for the first time in the Bible? You remember when God put Adam to sleep and he took a rib from his side and created Eve. Eve's origination, her power, and everything she was because of the rib that was supplied by Adam. Here, when this great bear revives and stands up, there are three other kingdoms that will join him. These are kingdoms that the bear has fed and given everything they needed to make them everything that they are today. They will rise up out of the sea. If you'll study the Bible, you're aware of the fact that the sea is a type of humanity. This governmental fashion that will rise during the tribulation period, according to the wind blowing from all four directions, they have an undercurrent that is spread out throughout all the world, even while I'm preaching tonight. I believe I can prove to you from the Bible that I believe Russia is that great bear that is going to stand up during the tribulation period. And brother, she is flexing her muscles even while I'm in this pulpit tonight. Some of the countries that may be the three ribs that was sticking out of the mouth of the bear, I believe one of them could be China. I believe one of them could be Iran. I believe one of them could be Korea. One of those ribs could be Venezuela, Turkey, Jordan, and all the Muslim nations in the Middle East combined and put together. But they will only rise to prominence because the Great Bear has given them what they've needed to become a sovereign power. May I say to you, every God-hating, America-hating nation in the world today is kissing up with Russia. Russia has always hated America. Russia always will hate America. Let me tell you something about Russia. If you go to Alaska and stand at the northern tip of Alaska, are you aware of the fact that it's only 12 miles across the ocean till you hit the southern tip of the land of Russia? Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's how close we are to our adversaries. Now, there's two things that the bear is going to want dominant control over as far as the world custom is concerned. You'll find it in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6 and Revelation chapter 18 and verse 13. There are two things that the bear is hungry for with these other three kingdoms supporting him. The Bible said they will declare in that day, touch not the wine and touch not the oil. Those are going to be the two commodities that makes Russia rise up unto this empire and this kingdom. Why did he say wine and oil? Because it's the two commodities that are eventually going to control the whole face of the earth that we're now living on. And there's two things that are making it in the paper today. This world, its priorities are wrapped up in wealth and intoxication. We are living in a world filled with drunks and dope addicts and bums and thuds and losers. People could care less whether they ever have anything in life or not, as long as they got another bottle of liquor or another prescription of pills. And some of you know what I'm talking about. All this world wants to do is get high and run from the realities of life. But we are also living in a world that is dependent on oil. And whoever controls the oil flow of this world will also be the empire that controls the world. I believe the three ribs that are hanging out of the mouth of the bear shows a threefold purpose why Russia will try to rise to preeminence during the tribulation period. Richard Nixon made a lot of mistakes during his presidency. When Watergate became a reality, he very quickly subsided from his presidency, and before he was impeached, Richard Nixon stepped aside. But he was one of the greatest foreign trade presidents that America ever had. And Richard Nixon said back in the 60s that there is a day coming when Russia and China would rise above America and become the world leaders. He said that in the 60s. That's been almost 40 years ago. And in my lifetime, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen exactly what Richard Nixon said come to pass. I'm going to show you the three ribs, the threefold reason why Russia is going to come down to the Middle East and try to overtake the world. Any historian, whether they're Christians or not, will tell you, as goes the Middle East, so goes the world. You often wondered why people would want to deal with a little nation like Israel. They've only got a handful of people. They've only been a nation since 1948. Why does everybody pick on Israel? Because they know whoever controls the cradle of the Middle East will eventually dominate and control this world. Let me tell you the threefold rib that I believe Bible prophecy will use to bring the bear dipped in oil. Number one, Russia is looking for and promoting the collapse of the international market. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I preached on this 2 years ago, people looked at me and said, that'll never happen. America will never collapse. We're more financially and economically stable than we've ever been in our history. But while you're sitting in this service tonight, everything you own and everything you've invested is in jeopardy. And when you wake up tomorrow, you could be as broke as a Hank and not have a dollar in the bank. Banks are selling out every day. Listen, in 1913, the greatest mistake America ever made was when they put their gold away and started printing paper money as bonds to give security for the gold. When we did that and we reached our limit, and instead of stopping our deficit, we just kept printing the money, kept printing the paper without any liquidated gold to stand behind the bond. Can I tell you, internationally speaking, the dollar is at an all-time low since 1913. Missionaries are losing 60% of their money when it transfers over into the accountability and the economy of where they're in on foreign soil. That happened in 1913. Listen what they did after that. No money to back up the money they were printing. No gold to back it up. And then the banks in America begin pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into communist interests and governments around the world. Look at here. While you're sitting in this little country church tonight, this nation is $7 trillion in debt. Look up here. I didn't say 7 million, honey. I didn't say 7 billion. I said this country owes God-hating nations $7 trillion. You know what a realtor in California told me when I was there last year? She said, I cannot remember how long it's been since I have sold a piece of property to an American in the state of California. She said, I cannot tell you the last time an American has bought a piece of realty property off of me. She said, preacher, America does not even own California anymore. And the foreigners have come over and they have taken our country right out from under us. Japan owns 70% of every steel mill in America. That means if we ever go to war to Japan and China and all those other European nations that they sided with, we don't even own the steel companies that we would need to manufacture the planes and the tanks and the Hummers that we would need to defend this country. They have bought our country out from underneath us. And because of a bunch of pot-belly pig politicians that could care less about our Constitution and care less about our country, and all they were worried about was their women and their Mercedes and padding their own pockets, they have sold this country right out from underneath us. Look up here, baby. You don't even own what you've got. And if you're dumb enough to think you own what you've got, you miss paying taxes one year. You'll see who owns what you've got. They wanted to collapse the international market. Now let me borrow your imagination and show you how far $1 trillion in debt really is. How heavy of a debt that is. If I took a dollar bill and turned that dollar bill into a $1,000 bill, look at me, not a $100 bill, honey, a $1,000 bill, and I laid it down and laid one on top of it until it came to $1 trillion, do you know how high that stack would be? That stack would be 63 miles high. 63 miles. That's $1 trillion. Now you times that times 70. If you took $1,000 bills and stacked them on top of each other, we're almost 500 miles of them stacked in debt. And we are indebted to countries that our forefathers said that we should never become slaves to them. I hate to tell you, I'm not a doomsday preacher. I'm an honest preacher. We're headed right back for the same depression that crashed us in 1929. If your hope's in the stock market, you might as well load your gun and blow your brains out, because this thing's about to bottom out. Major banks and loan companies and mortgaging, the biggest ones in America, are bellying up. And while we're sitting in church tonight, they're trying to pass a bill that's worth $700 billion of our money to bail out the crooks that took advantage of us in the first place. You know what I say? It's a monster of their own making. They got in it. Let them get their own tail out of it. Now watch this. How many of you got an incentive check from the government? Was it this year? How many of you got a check? Raise your hand. Probably got anywhere $300, $600, $1,200, depending on how many of you are in your family. Wasn't that wonderful? Get a check from the government. Woo! You know where that money come from? That money came from China. Our president flew to China and borrowed the money to give you a check. And he did that to try to get the American people to believe that America is totally broke. Now, I've got a question. If America is totally broke and we had to borrow the money from China, then why do we have the resources to write a $700 billion check tonight and we've already got it in the coffers to cover the check? Let me tell you something, folks. We are taxed to death. This country is going down. Our financial market is falling all to pieces. The dollars you have in your pocket really aren't even worth lighting the cigarettes that's in your shirt pocket tonight. Our economy has gone to pot. Gas is $4 a gallon. Can you believe that? Folks can't even pay their rent anymore. Folks can't even afford to buy clothing and the necessities for their house. Our society has been built on materialism, greed, and pleasure. And all we have to show for it is a bunch of drunks and a bunch of thugs. Listen to me. When the UN met in New York this past week, one of the biggest Muslim nations in the world, the president of Iran, stood up in our country and said, the kingdom of America is crumbling and your days of monarchy is over. Said that in this country. Let me tell you something. That crooked nose sand monkey, he shouldn't have lived long enough to even get out of this country. Somebody ought to blow his stinking head off. I got news for him. With all of her problems and all of her heartaches and all of her misfortunes, I still believe she's the greatest country in all the world. He snubbed his nose at the American dollar and said, it's not even worth the paper it's printed upon. I say to you, the bear is going to try to get us to collapse the international market. Number two, I must hurry. The bear dipped in oil is not only going to try to collapse the market, but it's going to control the oil fields all over the world. Again, I want to reemphasize, I do believe Russia is that bear. Russia does not have enough oil on her own soil to support the fuel needs of her people. For the first time in history of all these nations, Russia has become kissing buddy friends with Iran, China, and Venezuela. They have been arch enemies ever since their existence. But now the president of Iran has been to Russia and the president of Russia has been to Iran. Since January of this year, Russia has sold $4 billion worth of nuclear research to Iran this year alone. We are finding weapons of destruction in Iraq. We're finding dugouts and we're finding underground tunnels with all kinds of weapons that the military of Iraq were going to use against our men. We have found out that they got those weapons from Iran, but yet stamped on the weapons made in Russia. And what Russia has been doing, they have been funding and supplying the Muslims and the radicals and the Iraqi rebels. They have been sending all of their equipment and all of what they've needed in artillery and guns and bombs right through Iran, and Iran has been shoving it right into Iraq. Can I tell you something, folks? We've been fighting Russia all the time. You just hadn't known it yet. And when Russia rose up the other day and started bombing Georgia, which was totally against the UN agreement that they had, you know what Russia was doing? They were licking their finger and putting it up in the wind to see if America still had enough backbone to left to say, we may be in Iraq and we may be in Afghanistan, but we'll take care of you too if we have to. You know what America's done? We've done nothing about it. You know why? Because we are financially broke. Our military is stretched to its capability. Russia knows that we are so scattered out, we can't even take care of our own country anymore, much less take care of Georgia. And I'm telling you, this bear's about to rear up, and when she comes up out of that great sea, she's going to have China and Iran and Jordan behind her. All the Muslim nations are going to submit to her, and brother, she's going to take over the oil fields, and she's going to become a one world empire during the tribulation period. Now watch this. 60% of all the oil that Venezuela sells comes to America. Yet their president, Chavez, stood at a UN meeting in America several years ago and said that our president was a demon from hell and could smell the sulfurs of the damned when he got around President Bush. Yet we send billions and billions and billions of dollars to this God-hating country every year, and it's all because of oil. Did you know the UN meeting that was held this past week, Chavez didn't even go? Do you know why he didn't go? Because he was in China. He went to China for two reasons this week, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't even show up at the UN meeting. He went for two reasons. Number one, he wants their nuclear warfare intelligence. He's buying it. Number two, he said publicly from his plane on his way back to Venezuela that he has made an agreement to now start buying military aircraft from China. You know what he's getting ready to do? He's getting ready to be a rib in the mouth of that bear to overtake our country and to overtake this world. All nations are oil dependent, but no nation depends on foreign oil any more than the United States of America. Oil-dependent nations will be brought to their knees by this great bear. And what bothers me, ladies and gentlemen, if I could insert this, I'm so sick of these stinking environmentalists that are more worried about a red-crested woodpecker and a polar bear and a pregnant whale than they are. Look, we got enough oil resources in this country. We're 10 years behind every other country coming to natural resources and not being oil dependent. Other countries around the world saw this coming 10 years ago, but America has drug her feet because we're so interested in financing other countries around the world. Now we've got to bow our knee to the very people that hates our guts. And brother, this bear's going to rise up, and one day, if God don't intervene, Russia will control this country. Now you watch this. What's going to bring that bear down to Israel? Israel does not have oil. As a matter of fact, Israel pumps only enough oil to take care of 20% of its demand every year. What's going to bring Russia down? Now I'm going to tell you what I believe Ezekiel 38 and 39 teaches. I believe Israel is going to strike the biggest pool of oil known in modern history. Think about it. Every surrounding nation of Israel right now has oil bubbling up out of the ground. All the nations have oil bubbling up out of the ground except Israel. And Israel is the very heart of the Middle East. I believe that somewhere in the near future, you put it down. And Moses even spoke about it in the book of Exodus, how God was going to allow them to prosper from under the ground. I believe Israel's going to tap into the biggest pool of oil known in the history of man. And that bear's going to rise up and say, I'll never be able to control the Middle East until I take over the oil fields of Israel. Ezekiel 38 and 39, God said, I'll put hooks in her jaw and I'll bring them down to the unwalled city. What's God going to use? He's going to use the oil. And when they come down to fight against Israel, by the divine nature and the protection of God, their effort will fail, which will eventually set up the great battle of Armageddon. Think about it. We're living in the most oil-dependent nation in the world. We're so far behind in developing natural resources that commentators are even shy and embarrassed to talk about it. I'm telling you, one day they'll come to Israel, not only because they want the oil, but because they want the power. Listen, power and prestige and wealth has always been the fall of man. Paul had it right when he told Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. It always has been and it always will be. But standing up out of the great sea will be a great bear with three ribs in its mouth and oil dripping from its furry body. And the third rib, with the threefold purpose of the great bear, is to conquer Israel and destroy that nation. It's amazing to me. In 1948, there was a six-day war, and Israel overran all the Arab nations. The Arabs laughed at the Jews as they came back to their land and said, this is a joke. You bunch of handful of Jews, we're going to throw you in the Mediterranean Sea forever. But in 6 days, the war was over, and those Arabs tucked their tails and ran to the Palestinian lands. And brother, in 1948, they rebutted again, just like Jesus said they would. Did you know Israel is the only nation in all the history of time that has ever gotten out of the city of the dead and became a living soul again? And in 1948, in just 6 days, those Arabs were sitting on the sandy hills, rubbing their heads and patching up their wounds, wondering how that Jew got back in Israel. And the flag went up the pole for the first time. And brother, the president stood at the base of the flag and said, God bless America. And America stood by Israel. And God brought her home just like he said he was going to do. But listen to me. As far back as World War I, talks about a one world order had already surfaced among the agreeing nations. In 1946, the United Nations was born. Not long after Hitler died, before his body was cold in the ground, Stalin came and headed up what we call the Communistic Party. He called it a new world order, and it was embraced and accepted by all communist countries by 1960. But if you ever listen to the UN platforms, I don't know, America's so out of touch with her own country. Do you even listen to what's said at the UN meetings in America? Think about this. For the last 25 years straight, the United Nations platform has been nothing but a chance for the enemies of America and Israel to vent their hate and their desire to see the Jew annihilated. In 1974, in the United Nations meeting, Arafat addressed a plan called the Plan of Phases, and it was presented to the UN presidents of the world on how to destroy Israel in less than 2 years. In 1975, on the United Nations platform, a dictator from Uganda stood up and called for the annihilation of the Israeli people. This week, the Iranian president stood up on the platform of the United Nations, speaking to world leaders, and said, I quote, Israel needs blown off the map, end of quote. The third reason why that bear's coming down dipped in oil is not only to get control, not only monetarily, and not only over the oil, but she's coming because she has a depraved hatred for Israel. All anti-God nations hate that Jew. Did you know Israel's not more than a pinhead on your map? On the left of Israel is the Mediterranean Sea. Above her, beside her, and below her are Muslim nations. Every one of them hate Israel. Every one of them are bigger than Israel. Every one of them are stronger than Israel. They all band together, but for some reason, they cannot get that Jew out of Jerusalem, and they don't understand why they can't run her into the Mediterranean Sea. But they're so stupid. God said in Genesis 16, they're wild asses. He said they're dumb, they'll never believe my word, and they'll always be rebels and live in the desert. Talking about the Arab nations. So you know what Iran's going to do? He's going to reach up and grab Russia. He's going to reach up and grab China. The Bible declares in Revelation 16 that the river Euphrates is going to dry up, and the biggest military army in the history of the world is coming down against the Jew. I do not believe that's the battle of Armageddon. I believe that's the battle of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter number 39. They're going to encamp around those Jews. They're going to be on all sides of Israel. Russia's going to stand up with oil dripping off of her bear. China's going to flex her muscle. Iran's going to say, this is what we're waiting on. Turkey's going to join in. And my friend Jordan's going to join in. All the Palestinians are going to join in. Even those from northern Egypt and Africa, they're all going to join in. And they're going to say, this is it, Israel's history. But for some reason, all of a sudden, the great God of heaven comes to their rescue. And brother, the bear begins to fall. And China begins to crumble. And Russia begins to fall. I'm telling you, brother, as long as there's a God in heaven, there's going to be a Jew in Israel. All the armies of the world will be made aware of the fact that the great bear dripping in oil has faltered at the hand of that little Jewish country called Israel. So now we've got a problem. All the European nations band together. The Euphrates is dried up. Now all of Asia, Asia Minor, all of Europe, all the northern countries, here they come, China. All of them are coming down, Japan. And they all gather together. And brother, they are with the false prophet and the Antichrist. It's the biggest military call in the history of the world. Billions of people come down to the valley. The battle of Armageddon. They're in the valley of Megiddo. And there it is, literally just an ocean of people. This is called the great day of battle. And brother, they've come down and they said, we failed once. All them Muslims are scratching their heads saying, where's Allah when you need him? And where's Muhammad when you need him? And they all come down now. Think about it. All the armies of the world are in the Valley of Megiddo, and they've joined together with the Antichrist, and brother, they're about to take over Israel. Israel looks and they're outnumbered thousands and thousands to one. All their military has been bombed. Everybody's been shredded. They're down to nothing. According to the scriptures, it'll even come to the place where they're diverse trying to find food to eat. And that great battle will join together. And brother, all the armies of the world, think about it. Every military army in the world turns against that little nation that's the size of a pinhead on your map. And brother, they lift up their flag and they blow their horn. And in Revelation 19, they say, bless God, we got Israel now. But all of a sudden, the Bible said that the clouds roll back like a scroll. Yes, hallelujah. And a white stallion descends from the glory world. And he that's seated on that white horse is crowned with many crowns. Said it's embroidered on his white vesture. This is true. He's faithful. He's the Word of God. Here comes Jesus, bless God, coming out of the glory world. And the Bible said that the armies of the Lord will follow him. You know who that is? That's us, praise God. You say, well, brother kid, I'm afraid I'll get hurt. Don't worry about it, honey. We're not there to fight. We're only there to shout. Amen. Somebody said to me one time, Lord God, my grandma was 91 when she died. How could she come back on a white horse? She couldn't even walk. I tell you, the next time you see Granny, she'll be in a glorified body. She can ride that horse sitting between its ears. Bless God Almighty. Granny's are coming back. And I'm telling you, Jesus will descend 1 foot on the ocean, 1 foot on the Mount of Olives. She'll split right down the middle. He'll descend from the horse and devour that crowd with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. And the armies of the world will fall. And he said it's called the winepress of the furious wrath of Almighty God. Jesus will walk through the valley and stomp the guts out of those rebels that hated Israel. And John said when he got back on the white horse, his vesture looks as if it was dipped in blood. He gets back on the white horse. Whoop! And he goes to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem's got 10 gates. But there's one particular gate Jesus is going to. It's called the Beautiful Gate. Oh, bless the Lord. By the way, this is going to happen whether you like it or not, buddy. So you might as well act like you're enjoying what's going on. And when he gets to that beautiful gate, that was the gate he rode through on his triumphal entry on the colt's ass. And they laid the palm leaves down and said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Did you know since the earthly ministry of Jesus, the beautiful gate has been closed? Tonight while I'm preaching, there's a Muslim cemetery in front of those gates. They've never been opened. For 2,000 years, those gates have been shut. Nobody goes in and out the beautiful gate. But Zechariah said, when he extinguishes all the enemies of God, he'll get up on that white horse. The army of God will be following him. He'll pull up to that beautiful gate. And Zechariah said, one gate will look at the other and say, do you know who that is? And the other gate will say, how can I forget? And the Bible said the gates will yell out. The gates will swing open wide and say, enter ye into the gates of the city. And Jesus will ride through that beautiful gate. But brother, he's not headed for a cross. He's headed for a throne. Hallelujah. And brother, he'll sit down on the throne of David, and the scales will fall from the eyes of the Jews, and Israel will be saved in the day, and the praises of God will fill the air, and the millennial reign will start, and the curse will be lifted, and the redeemed will live forever. I'm telling you, hallelujah. I read the last chapter. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful day when the curse will be lifted and we'll be with the Lord. Brother Billy Kelly said he believed that grapes will be as big as bowling balls. He said, Brother Kidd, I believe watermelons will be as big as Volkswagens.
He said, I want God to give me a chainsaw. I want to cut one in half, let it flip open and just dive in. I said, Brother Kelly, I believe Rishi cups will be as big as a swimming pool. Woo! And there'll be no diabetics. And we won't have to worry about calories. And nobody will be too thin. And nobody will be too fat. And we won't have to worry about what we can and can't eat. And we won't have to worry about a diet. And I'm going to get on the edge of that pool. That's a Reese cup. I'm diving in that sucker with my mouth wide open. And don't bother me for 100 years. Don't bother me for the first 100 years. I'm telling you, I'm glad I've read the last chapter. You may think this thing's falling all apart, but I got news. God has it all under control. And when it's all said and done, we'll all be yelling, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let the bears come. Let them have the oil and the money. There's a Savior coming, and the government will be upon His shoulders. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Let's stand with our heads bowed.